For some reason, unknown to me, the lectionary has taken us to Holy Week. Yeah, Jesus has just entered Jerusalem with shouts of Hosanna and palm branches all laid on his path. He has cleared out the temple of the money changers and the merchants, and now the religious authorities want to know, just who does he think he is? By what authority is he doing these things? Well, context is always important in Scripture, but especially so with this passage. For these are not the first confrontations Jesus has had with these people, and they're taking place now in the shadow of the cross that is growing larger day by day. Now, Jesus could shy away from these questions, refusing to engage with the chief priests, walking away, but instead, he confronts them. Not just once, but if you go back and read, he does this a couple of times all in this context here. Because apparently, they're having difficulty understanding his responses. So this engagement becomes increasingly risky for Jesus because here he is in Jerusalem, he knows what's down the road, and yet here he is confronting them. And once again, he does it with this beautifully crafted parable. And like a couple of weeks ago, it too is about a vineyard owner. But this time, the vineyard owner has tenants. This owner has gone to great trouble to prepare this vineyard for them. Matthew actually goes on and on about it, how he planted the vines and put a fence around it, dug a wine press, even built a watchtower. This is some vineyard. Because he obviously cared deeply that this be a good, productive vineyard, and he wanted his tenants to have a good environment in which to do their work. Then, in a practice that was typical of that day, he leases it out to the tenants, and they farm it and are to pay him with a share of the harvest. He then leaves town. Again, not unusual. The time comes for the harvest, and as expected, the owner sends slaves to collect his portion of it. Well, this is when the story starts to twist, because the tenants are thinking that if they dispose of the slaves, all the harvest will be theirs. So they beat, kill, and stone those slaves. Well, when the owner hears of this, he sends another group of slaves, more than the first time, but not that many more, apparently, because I really don't know what he was thinking, why he didn't just send an army or armed men or something to take care of these scoundrels, because he gets the same result as the first group. They're dead. So in yet another act of foolishness, he sends his son on this errand, thinking maybe then they will see he means business. But of course, all they see is the future heir. Kill him. The vineyard now belongs to them. Well, Jesus then asks those who are listening to this parable, what do you think the vineyard owner will do with those tenants? And they answer, he will kill the wretches. I love it. They're right into this story. They'll kill the wretches and get new tenants who will respect him and pay him as agreed. Well, suddenly it dawns on those darn religious authorities that he's talking about them. And they're starting to get it, though not entirely. It is starting, though, to dawn on them. But it really wasn't going to change their opinion of him. If anything, it just made them more angry. And it didn't change what they thought of his teaching. If anything, they just thought, here he goes down that heresy line again. And I have often wondered, why did Jesus continue to engage with them? Why bother? Why not just walk away, especially this week? Why not just walk away? They aren't going to change. They're after him. Why continue to confront them? Well, the reason is one of the things that we love about our Savior. Jesus could not give up on them, just as the vineyard owner could not give up on the tenants. Jesus loved them as much as he loved everyone else. Just as he doesn't give up on the woman caught in adultery or the tax collectors, or for that matter, you or me, he didn't give up on the Pharisees. So with each parable, he seeks to reach them, to redirect them back toward God. His relationship then was not one of condemnation, but recovery. He knew they wanted to be faithful to God, but were headed away from God, and he wanted to bring them back home, like the vineyard owner and his tenant farmers. And Jesus wanted them to see what they were doing to themselves. By their words and their actions, they were not producing the fruit of the kingdom. And thus, they were excluding themselves from the promises of God. God was not shutting the door. They were slamming it shut as they walked away. When I first went into management and healthcare, one of my mentors said, "Kathy, you have to remember, you don't fire people, they fire themselves." And I think this is what's happening here. In Jesus' parables, it's important to find ourselves in it, because otherwise we're just pointing fingers, never a good thing. And to find ourselves is really very simple, but also very difficult, for we also are tenants. We've been given a vineyard to tend, but it isn't ours. We aren't the owners. We are stewards, charged with caring for the vines that they might produce good fruit. So what are the fruits of the kingdom? What are we to be producing? And well, there are many of them. Unlike the fruits of the Spirit, that's a whole nother sermon with a whole nother text. But among the fruits of the kingdom are love and relationships, grace and forgiveness, justice and peace, generosity, compassion, wisdom and truth, presence and healing, joy, humility, thanksgiving, reconciliation, and even more, anything that we can do that will bring about God's reign on earth. And we've all been given vineyards in the lives that we have. And collectively, we are also stewards of the vineyard that's called the church. And as such, in our lives individually and together, we are to be growing these very fruits. Well, if we're honest, we're good at some of them some of the time. Others we avoid because they're hard or they make us uncomfortable, they're just too much work. And still others seem to just come naturally to us. Just as in a garden, there is always something that needs attention, whether it's weeding or hoeing or watering or fertilizing. We can't neglect some part of our vineyard and expect that to bear fruit. Well, neither can we pretend that we're the owners and suddenly decide we don't need to attend to the purposes of the owner. Because when we do, we're excluding ourselves from the kingdom, setting ourselves up to be replaced with tenants who will respect the owner and their ways. For remember, God's kingdom will come either with us or without us. There are all kinds of ways that we can exclude ourselves from the kingdom harvest, the sharing in the abundance of God's goodness. Like those times when we just have to be right, when it's more important to be right than to stay in relationship. Or we need to be in control, when we feel like we have all the answers, and all those poor schmucks that don't. Those are all ways of living that lead us away from God and God's purposes. When we question whether we're good enough, smart enough of whatever the world says we should be, we're forgetting the task the owner has given us. When we make judgments of others or carry grudges, resentments, or anger, we're not tending what God has given us stewardship over, and no fruit will come from those vines. When we're just going through the motions, being where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, but not really being fully present, or perhaps when we're hanging on to guilt, what fruit can grow on those vines? When we have more criticism and cynicism than thanksgiving and celebration, what, frankly, will grow in that soil? And you know, these are all things we do to ourselves, and they're part of the human nature that we are and have. But what the tenants were doing to themselves was in spite of that patient owner's efforts. And it's what the religious leaders also were doing to themselves, which is why Jesus cared enough to engage with them and to engage with us, continuing an attempt to bring us all back home. We often speak about stewardship of the earth or stewardship in terms of our giving to the church, And we'll get to that later in the fall. Don't worry, in case you were looking forward to that. But this parable is about stewardship of our lives. This is the vineyard that we've had entrusted to us. It doesn't belong to us. How our attitudes and our opinions and ideas, our words and actions cultivate God's purposes in our living is what we're to be about. We're supposed to be worth figuring those things out. How can we embrace our belovedness as a gift to be shared? And the same questions are true for our life together as a community. Jesus loves us enough to want us to fully enjoy the harvest of the kingdom. For who enjoys being angry or guilt-ridden or judgmental? Well, let's say, who enjoys living that way? We all get a little bit of satisfaction, right, every once in a while about that. We all know how our lives are when we are in relationships of love and compassion, when we can offer grace and forgiveness, when we're generous with ourselves, our lives, and our resources to others. That's some really good fruit, friends. And that's what our Savior hopes for us and wants it enough to do all he can, including giving up his life, so that we might have that and have it in abundance. That vineyard owner was incredibly patient with those tenants who were bent on having it all for themselves. In the same way, Jesus loved the Pharisees and refused to give up on them, engaging with them in hopes that they will find a new path to God. Even as he prepares for his death, he seeks their redemption. Well, he also loves us and refuses to give up on us. And the least we can do is listen with open minds and hearts that want to go where God leads us. Amen.